Welcome to my session about using SharePoint Search to develop custom solutions. I hope that's what you came in for. The session will be in English, but I'm Dutch, so if you have a question and you want to ask it in Dutch, that's okay as well. If you have a question, please just yell and I'll answer it throughout the session. A little bit about me first. My name is Mirjam van Olst. I'm a Microsoft Certified Master in SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2007. I'm also a SharePoint MVP. And I'm one of the organizers for the DIWUG, the Dutch Information Worker User Group. We organize events once a month somewhere in the Netherlands, a location that a sponsor organizes. So usually it's the office of the sponsor. And we have presentations for IT pros, power users, and developers, and we rotate that. If you want to register for that, you can do so at DIWUG.nl website. And we also have an e-magazine that we publish once every 4 months that you can download from the website as well. And if you come up to the Ask the Experts area, we have a printed version of the e-magazine specifically for this conference that a sponsor was kind enough to print for us. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do so via my blog, sharepointchick.com, or on Twitter or via email. This is the agenda for today. We start out with a little bit of overview of improvements in SharePoint 2010 Search. Then we'll talk about using PowerShell to manage SharePoint Search for a little bit. We go through customizing Search through the UI, which isn't really code. And then search through non-SharePoint data, what's new in there. Extend the out-of-the-box search web parts, and then create a custom search solution. Start out with the improvements. These are the main investment areas on a very high level, obviously. For the end user, Microsoft wants them to go beyond the search box. And you can think about, for instance, the refiners in the Search Center that are now available in SharePoint 2010. So when a user does a search, he gets refiners based on the metadata from the search results that are returned to him. And he can refine the data based on that and have a bigger chance to find the result that he was looking for. For the IT professional, eliminate compromise, and basically that means that in SharePoint 2007, search, or specifically the index service, was the single point of failure in any SharePoint deployment because you couldn't duplicate that. You couldn't have two index servers that would both run and that would actually provide a high availability for you in that sense. In SharePoint 2010, you can have multiple servers that are doing the index for you, and that's because the index now is stateless. The crawler stores the location where you was with indexing the contents in a specific database, which makes it possible for other servers to pick off where the indexer left off. So because of that, you can now have more than one server, which will make you more scalable, but also redundant, so you can have high availability scenario using SharePoint Search. As a developer, you can now do more with Search. That's partly because of the web parts that are now public that you can use in your own search solutions, and partly because of the new added method in the object model, the Shared Query Manager. And the Shared Query Manager can help you to build your own solutions using the SharePoint Search web parts. From an IT pro's perspective, you have a way better possibility to scale out SharePoint Search. You can go up to 100 million items without using FAST. 100 million might be a bit too much to actually put in a normal SharePoint Search environment, but you can scale up to that level. That's a tested limit. There's a way better search management UI, so you can actually through the UI tell SharePoint Search on what servers you want to run the index, on what servers you want to make the query service, and it really gives you a clear overview of what your architecture is for your SharePoint Search, and also what the status of all the servers is. You can set up mirroring of the different components through the UI. So that's not database mirroring, that's mirroring of the search components. And all those things will give you a way easier time to manage SharePoint Search. There's PowerShell support, obviously, like with everything in SharePoint now. And everything that you can do with SharePoint Search through the UI, you can do through PowerShell and more. There's full support for SCOM reporting, So that will help you to keep your farm healthy, especially if you have more than one farm or more than one server, that will help. There's full search reporting, which is more an administrative thing, or where you can see what queries are users searching for, do they find results? So is my search set up in the right way? Maybe if there's a lot of users firing queries that don't return any results, there's either something wrong with the content or something wrong with the index. So you might have to add metadata or to your content, or you might have to look at the results in your index. And it's easier to crawl business data using BCS, and that's not necessarily an improvement in search, but more an improvement in the BCS, because it's way easier to set up a BCS model in SharePoint 2010 than it was in SharePoint 2007. From a developer's perspective, we now have the public web parts. When they were building SharePoint 2010, sort of the promise was that all SharePoint web parts would be public. Well, that's not really the case. I have a diagram about that later on, but the most important ones are public now. There's PowerShell support to deploy your customizations. For instance, manage properties, crawled properties. If you build a custom solution based on SharePoint Search, almost always you will need managed properties. So if you set that up on your development environment, you will have to make sure that when you deploy your solution to a production environment, that those managed properties get created on the production environment as well. So it's very easy to use PowerShell for that, and way easier for the person deploying it as well. He can just run the script. And the new connector framework with a broad set of out-of-the-box connectors to connect to business data or data outside of SharePoint. So that's the BCS framework, where you can use web services, databases, and .NET connectors to connect to data out-of-the-box that's outside of SharePoint. And it's very easy to use BCS data in custom solutions as well. A couple of the concepts in here. The first thing is the content sources down at the bottom. That's basically the content databases, but it could also be BCS data. Then we have the crawler that indexes the content for you, and a couple of connectors that know how to process different types of data. So there's a connector for SharePoint, but there's also a connector, for instance, for SQL data, indexing SQL data through the BCS. The crawler will store the results in the index that's on a file system, not in the database. And that index can be stored in a single partition or in more than one partition. And by cutting the index up in partitions, you can spread it out over more than one server. And you can make sure that your content's fresher by letting one server index half of the content and the other server index the other half, which basically means that you have more power to make sure that your search results are fresh. The index is propagated to the query servers, so in the end your index is stored on the query server and not on the crawler. The properties, the metadata that gets indexed, is stored in a different database. It's stored in a property database, and you can have one or more of those as well. And you don't necessarily need to have one per index partition, but you can set it up the way you like or the way your environment requires you to. So that depends on how much content have you got in your environment. The query servers, talked about that already. Those are the servers that the request is sent to, and that will go to the index to find the right results, and that will go to the property databases as well to find the results that match your query. You have query federation, which means that you can index content from other sources outside of SharePoint by using the open search protocol. And out of the box, for instance, you can use Bing search. There's a connector set up for that out of the box. So that means that if you type in a search term and you enable that on the page in your search center, you will get results returned from Bing on the same term that you were searching on within your SharePoint environment. For a while there, that web part was on the search page and activated by default, but a lot of users reported that as a bug, because there's data from the internet in my SharePoint environment. I don't want that. But it's not a bug, it's actually a web part, and you can enable it now. It's on the page, but you need to tell it to actually go and retrieve results from the internet. And then the search center with the UI for users to issue queries and interact with the results. And you can customize that UI by either adding or removing web parts or adjusting the web parts that are on the page. So different way to list the components. A couple of the search components. One is administration component. There's one of those for each search service application. And that's basically the component that keeps track of what the topology of your search service is. What servers are query servers, what servers are index servers, for instance. There's the admin database storing that. Query components, the query component that actually on the query server that you fire your query to and that comes back with the results for you. Index partitions, also part of the query components, because as I said, the query server goes out to the index partitions on the query servers and not to the crawl server. And the property databases. There's the crawler, the crawl component that does the indexing for you, and the crawl database that keeps track of the status of the index, so what objects did I index and what objects next. Query processors, which is the search query and site settings, and that's the site collection settings. So this is the service on the server that runs, that tells you where the servers run, the search service. If you want to use search in your own solutions, you can configure through the UI, SharePoint Designer. If you really like writing XSLT queries, you can do a lot with that. I personally don't like that much, but you can import the XML that are returned by the search results into SharePoint Designer, and then you can use the UI, which is at least a bit easier to help you start. You can extend WebArts, which means you start with the out-of-the-box WebArt, you inherit from them, and then you can make changes to them in the way you like. So basically, you can create your own WebArts that you will use in a search center. I have a demo of that later on. So it's easy to make enhancements to it or to make changes to it, because everything that you don't want to change, you just use the out-of-the-box of that for that. But you can also create your own search solutions. And in that case, you basically use SharePoint as a data store. And you use the SharePoint search to give you that data, you know, in a quick and easy way, and a scalable way as well. So you would use that if you want to create a solution that has nothing to do with a search center. That's just, you know, a web art on a page. For instance, a very advanced Silverlight Who's Who web art could be a good example for that. And you can do anything with that you want. You can query the people search in SharePoint, get all the data back, get all the profile data back from that, but display it in the way you want. So we can now use PowerShell for managing SharePoint search. There are 118 SharePoint search commandlets. So that's 118 commandlets just for managing SharePoint search. Tiny little bit of PowerShell 101. You have verbs, nouns, objects, pipes, and scripts. And with that, you can basically do everything. An example, the Get SP Enterprise Search Service application. So that will get you the search service application for your farm. Or you can set the search service application as well. And you have access to some advanced configurations that you can't access through the UI. Verbose query monitoring, for instance. Or importing and exporting an enterprise search topology. When I first saw that, I thought that would be ideal for deploying your search solutions. Because if you would use that, you basically export everything from your environment, you know, all your managed properties and stuff like that, and then you just import it again on your production farm or on your test environment, and then you would have it set up, you know, the way your development environment was. That's not the case. This exports the topology. So what servers run query components, what servers run the crawl components. So it's not as useful as I first thought it was, but it will give you an overview of the topology of your environment. This is a PowerShell example. You don't, you know, it's just one example of what you can do. You can get the search service application. From that, you can get a metadata category. So that's searching through the properties, basically. And I get the people category here, so this will return all the properties that have to do with user profile properties from my search index for me. Then I'm looking for a crawled property in there, and I'm looking for the crawled property sports. This is a property that I added myself, because that's not by default in SharePoint, obviously. Then I can create a managed property and name that sports of the type text. And then the last bit here is create a mapping between my crawled property and my managed property. So that way now my sports crawled property is mapped to my sports managed property, and it means that I can use it in my custom solutions. Because you need something to be a managed property if you want to use it basically anywhere. A couple of examples what will be returned if you run a PowerShell commandlet. The top one, basically get SV Enterprise Search metadata crawled property, so get the crawled property sports, and it will show you the name, the full name with the schema in there, the category, nice ID, and whether it's mapped or not. So you can use that to check whether you're set up the correct way. You can get a managed property, not as much information there, just the name, an ID, and the type, basically, whether you can use it for scoping as well. And the last one is the mapping. So this shows you the mapping between the crawled property and the managed property. Just examples of what you can do, and probably the managed properties and the crawled properties something that you will use if you want to deploy custom solutions. The search content sources, you can create your own content source through the SharePoint Central Administration UI, and you can do that to search through different types of data. By default, there's one content source, basically, that searches through all the content within your SharePoint environment. You can create your own, for instance, to search through BCS or search through another SharePoint environment, maybe. You can search through a website. It all depends on your scenario and what you need to do with it. It will be stored in one index, so there's not more than one index if you create more than one content source. You need to create a separate service application to actually create a completely separate index, although you can split up your index into partitions within a single service application. So these concepts are a bit confusing, but by default, normally you would just have one index in your SharePoint environment. And you can create custom content sources to search. If you want to search through business data, you create an external content type using BCS, and then you can create a content source to search through that data. Search scopes also set up from central administration, which basically means that if you create a scope, you want to search through a portion of the index. So you make it easier for an end user to find the results that he's looking for, or you make it easier for your custom application to find the results that you were looking for. You can limit results by a content source. So if you have more than one content source, you can, for instance, say, I only want to see results returned from me through the BCS content source, which makes sense, because I think displaying business data with your SharePoint data in one page would be very confusing for an end user. You can limit results based on a URL. So you can create a scope that searches through one particular site, maybe HR site. I have a great example where it searches through a library with Windows Phone 7 backgrounds. You can also limit results based on a managed property value, so maybe documents that were written by me, or people that play a specific sport, or people from a specific department. The crawled and managed properties, any property that contains data within your environment after it gets indexed becomes a crawled property. So, for instance, every site column in your environment or every user profile property. Someone needs to fill in data for it, though. If you create a user profile property and there's not one user that has filled in anything for that property, it will not show up in your crawled properties. So first, someone needs to fill in data for it, and then it will show up. Managed properties can be created manually in the search service application or through PowerShell or the object model. And crawled properties can, once a managed property has been created, be mapped to that managed property. Some properties will automatically become managed properties once they get indexed. And an example of that is are the managed metadata fields. So if you have a managed metadata field, you use it in a list, it becomes indexed. And then the minute that it becomes indexed, it's a crawled property as well as a managed property. So that's something that SharePoint does for you. You can manage the search center You can create three types of search centers. There's the basic search center, which gives you a search center with no publishing features enabled on it. So you can't create pages on it to put in the pages library if you use that one. You have the enterprise search center, which looks very similar to the basic search center, but it does have publishing features enabled on it. So you have a pages library there, and you can create as many pages in it as you want. And then there's the fast search center. You will see that that type of site is available to you, but obviously it doesn't do anything if you don't have fast. There are more fast settings in the UI by default. If you click on the links, it will give you an error if you don't use fast. You can create custom pages and tabs. So for instance, if you have a scope with just the business data in there, you can create a custom tab, business data or something that makes more sense to your end users, and just display content from that scope on the pages that you link to those tabs. So that will make it easier for an end user to find what they are looking for. For instance, if you're like a lot of companies that I know and you have a SharePoint 2003 environment, because you know that content never got migrated, you have a SharePoint 2007 environment and you have a SharePoint 2010 environment, you can create scopes for all those environments. I'm not saying that you want it, but you could. You can also manage the web parts on the page. You can remove the web parts, add new web parts to it, or adjust the web parts on there. Do you want to adjust the web parts? You can change the look and feel by adjusting the XSLT specifically for the core results web part that will show you the search results from your query. You can also manage lots of properties, and usually that gets done by using XML. For instance, the search refiners, advanced search properties that you can add in there, or search options that you can use in the drop-down from the search box, can all be changed by using XML. Properties that are returned to you by the query component. You can also set that in the properties of the web part using XML. The following web parts are the most likely to be adjusted: the search options, the search refiners, the advanced search, and the search results. So this is a very short example because I don't want to bother you with doing this live. You have the XSLT that you can adjust. This is the web part properties from the core results web part. You see here XSLT editor. If you click on that, you get a text box, just plain white. Paste the XSL in there. I would say you're not editing it in there because it's difficult enough as it is without having to do it in a notepad-like environment. You save it in there, you save the web part, you refresh the page, and then you see the results displayed on your page right away. And this is what it could look like if you, like me, can't do any design-type activities. But you can see how this looks completely different from the normal list of results in your SharePoint environment. So you can do anything with this you want. Short demo. This is my portal. In here, I have a standard search center. This is just an out-of-the-box search center. I can search on properties in here or maybe on a name. See what people are in there, what users are in my environment. So you can see some people that you might recognize in here, all employees of my company, of course. I can make some adjustments here. A user can now search on the property sports. Say, I want to see everyone that has tennis selected as his or her sport. A user is likely not to know the fact that you have to fill in sports and then, you know, tennis behind that. But if it uses the search options, you can see here that sports is already in here, and if I search on sports here and I enter tennis, it will enter it twice, but even if it would be empty, it would just enter it in here. So say we're searching for everyone that has a name with an R in here, we're searching for sports tennis, and you can see how it adds that to the search box for an end user without the end user having to know what the managed property is called, because this is the name of the managed property. So if we see how that's done, we go into the search box web part, edit the web part, and in here, in the sorry, You can see all the properties that you can set up here. Here you see show search options, so I could also hide this completely. And if I select this, you get the beautiful text box where you can edit this. But in here, there's the property sports that was defined in here. So obviously, I don't know this XML by heart, but I can just copy the one above it. And then if you know the name of your managed property, you can easily fill this in. You can basically fill in any managed property that you want. So this is very easy. I could also hide the link to the preferences or to advanced search in a non-people search box. So that way I can very easily customize the environment without writing any code or even XSLT. Even most end users will be able to do this, or power users, because they can simply copy and paste from above or below the object. In here you can also see a couple of views. If I search for a little bit more, I think you can see the refiners as well. Yeah. So here you can see refiners, and I can refine based on the sports. Maybe just see people that play cricket. So in that way, you can see that an end user you can help an end user to find the results that he's looking for by simply making little customizations to your search center just through the UI. I could also adjust the search results as you just saw in the slides, or add properties to my advanced search properties. If I want to search through non-SharePoint data, I have to connect that data to SharePoint. And I can do so by using the Open Search Protocol, using Federation at the top. So that's data that doesn't need any authentication, usually. So searching through Wikipedia, searching through Bing, you have to find a site that implements the Open Search Protocol as well. So you can't just search through any site. At the bottom, you can see indexing connectors. So this is content that's usually within your environment, within your organization. Enterprise content management systems, custom applications, asset management systems, or line of business applications. So you can use the BCS to connect to data from these applications. Usually you can do so without writing custom code. If you want advanced stuff, you will have to write a little bit of custom code to do that. But once it's in your environment, once you have connected through the BCS to that data, you can simply, through the UI in center administration, connect to that data and index the data from those applications, and then search through it as well. The new framework, there's three types of connectors out of the box. The ADO.NET connector that will help you to search or to connect to databases. The WCF connector for connecting to web services. The .NET assembly connector for connecting to .NET framework connectivity assemblies. And you can also write your own custom connector, so that will give you full flexibility. Now that's more work, but if you have complex situations or you want to connect to an SAP data store, you probably want to write a custom connector, or use something like Duet that basically did that for you. You can create external content types for the BCS search service application, BCS service application, by using SharePoint Designer if you want to use one of the out-of-the-box ones, or by using Visual Studio if you want to use a more advanced scenario. And then, once you've done that, you can use the Search Service Application UI to create new BCS content sources and then configure the crawls for it. Think about how often you index that data, because it will obviously go off to another data store to index the data from there. A couple of improvements to BCS search. It's way easier to create the models. That's more a BCS improvement than a search improvement. There's now support for crawling attachments. That's a search improvement for you. You can support item-level security in your data store. I don't know if you want to, because you don't really want to in your SharePoint environment as well, but you can. You can crawl through entity associations. So within your BCS model, you can set up a relationship between objects, so between two tables, customers and products maybe, customers and orders. And you can tell SharePoints to crawl through those associations as well. And there's inline caching for better citizenship, so you don't have to refresh the data as often, which will increase the performance. So this is how it works. A user fires a query in the cloud there. He does that on the search results page, and results will be based on metadata. Then the search page will return results and point to the BCS profile pages or external lists. So that's the pages that are created by BCS for your custom data source. And the search index here, you see the protocol handlers, that's for other types of data, and the search BCS runtime that will actually use will be used to index the content. And that will route, as well as the profiles, all the requests through the connectors model. And the connectors model will help you to connect to the data source at the bottom, the one that you chose to connect to and to get your data from. So it's not a very difficult schema, not a very difficult architecture in basis. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about extending the out-of-the-box search web parts. So we have a couple of web parts. Don't know if you can read this in the back. But this is the list of web parts that are available to you out of the box from SHARE-WIN 2010. There's the advanced search box, core results, web part, federated search results, well, anything basically. And you can see in SHARE-WIN 2007, most of them were sealed. The core results web part was unsealed, federated results web part was unsealed, and the top federated results web part was unsealed. In SHARE-WIN 2010, there are some other ones that are unsealed as well, or basically there are some new ones, and those are unsealed. So that's people refinement web part, the query suggestions web part, and the refinement web part. So you can use those as well in your own code, inherit from them, and adjust them just a little bit to make them work the way you want it. You can see that they're not all public. There are still a couple that are sealed. If you are extending the out-of-the-box web parts, you will need the Shared Query Manager class. All web parts, all search web parts, even the out-of-the-box ones, use the Shared Query Manager class. And there's one instance of the Shared Query Manager for each search page. So in a standard out-of-the-box search center, there will be one instance of this Shared Query Manager class as well. You need at least one search results web part for this Shared Query Manager to be available. I thought I was smart and tried to write my own custom web part, not inheriting from the core results web part, and use the SharePoint search box to issue the query that would be used to display the results in my custom web part. That didn't work because there was no core results web part on the page, there was no shared query manager, and I couldn't get to the results. So you need to have at least one core results web part on your page, or one results web part. And that can also be your own. If you inherit from the core results web part, that will give you the shared query manager as well. And through that shared query manager, you will access the other classes of the federation object model. So that's what you will use to get to the properties of the web parts to be able to adjust them and create your own version of them. So this is how you will get the query manager. These are a couple of classes and objects from the search object model. This isn't the full list. I played with Photoshop to get this on one slide. There's a couple of things in here. There's aggregate results that will actually give you the results back. And if you want to do your own thing with it, you can use, for instance, link to query the results and then return it the way you want, or maybe issue another query over it. Be aware, though, that by then it will have extracted everything from the database. A couple of properties on location list, and this is where it gets interesting or fascinating. There's items per page, so the number of items or search results displayed on a page. Returned results, the number of results that are returned from the query. The total results, total results including duplicates. This is the location class. You can use the getResults method on here to actually give you back the results from the query that you issued. On this thing, there's also an items per page, returned results, and total results including duplicates. And there's several locations per location list. The core results web part, a couple of methods on init and on pre-renders, what you will most likely use if you're overriding those web parts, if you're creating your own version. And here we also have results per page, and we have the scope, which is very useful because you can tell the web part to just search through a particular scope. Show this in action, and you see why I pointed out those properties. First, go back to my portal. And in here, I have an extended search center. This still looks very out of the box. If I search in here, this web part gets returned to me, and this is a customized web part or an extended out of the box web part. So I based this web part on the search results, core search results web part, and I created my own version of it. So you can see that in here I'm searching through images. These are Windows Phone 7 backgrounds. And at the bottom, I displayed some useful information. You can see results per page for the web part. Sorry, partly in Dutch. It's 25. Results per page for the location, 25, and for the location list, 25 as well. Returned results for the location, 11. Total results for the location, 11. That makes sense, right? Because 11, you don't need to, the search doesn't have to hold back any results. 11 is not a lot. Total results, including duplicates for the location, 0. That's weird. There are no duplicates, but still you would expect this to just say 11. But this will not display anything if there are no duplicates. So you need to create duplicates in order to get a result in there. Returned results for the location list is the same. So apparently there's only one location, or at least only one location, that actually returns results to me in this case. So if I go into the code to see how this is done, I created a visual web part. So that's a web part with the user control in there, so it's easier for me to actually show something on the screen. I have an elements file in here just as a basis that will tell SharePoint where my file's stored and where it needs to go. It needs to go into the web parts gallery, obviously. And I defined a group, dev days. So this is where your end user can find the web part if they want to add it to the page. They just search in the category or in the group dev days, and that's where the web part will be. I have a web part file with some metadata in there. In this case, just a title and a description. Not even very cool ones. And I have an image web part.cs file, and this is where most of the magic happens for this solution. I inherit from the core search results web part. So if I don't do anything and I just inherit, I will get the default results from the core results web part. You can see a couple of properties in there. In the onInit event, I get the shared query manager from the page. Because I inherit from the core results web part, I can simply, by adding this line of code to my web part, get that query manager. And the scope, I limit that to backgrounds. So I didn't use, I didn't define the scope in my search box or in my in the UI, but I define it here in my custom code. So I will only get results back from this scope, and this scope limits the search results to just returning results from the one library with the backgrounds in there. I have to set the scope in the onInit. I can't do that in the onPreRender, or your search page will think that something changed on the page. And every time you load the page, it will tell you something changed on the page. Please refresh the page. Please refresh the page. So you have to put that really early on in loading the loading of your page in the onInit. In the onPreRender, you can do a lot of the other stuff. From the query manager, I can get the location list and the location. On the location, I can do a lot of stuff. I can, for instance, here add a requested property. Or if you look in here, you can do a lot of other things as well. Enable stemming, for instance, so different versions of a verb in your search results. Hit highlighted properties and can change the number of items per page. ranking models, stuff like that. So if you want to change anything, you would usually do that on the location. And you can see here that I have results per page is 25, and we saw that number on the web part earlier. And this is the results per page from the core results web part. I can also set location items per page and the location list items per page. And as you can see, the location on the location I set items per page to 5. On the location list, I set the items per page to 10, and we'll see what happens. This is just a list of displaying the metadata that I showed in the web part. And I add the user control to it, and the user control doesn't do anything else but display that list for me. So most of the logic for this web part is still in the core search results web part, right? It's the out-of-the-box web part. I only add a little bit of stuff to it. I don't do a lot. I'll build this one or deploy it to my environment. This has to be a farm solution. Because I'm using SharePoint Search, you can't use a sandbox solution. Because in a sandbox solution, you can only use stuff that's contained within your site collection, and obviously your search isn't contained within your site collection. So if you want to use SharePoint Search in your custom web parts, you need to build a farm solution. So that also means that if you're on Office 365 or another hosted environment where you can't deploy your own customizations to central administration, this approach won't work. However, you can then still use the web services, the search web services, and you can't do as much with it as I can through the object model, but you can still make your own web parts and at least get to the data in the index. So I deployed this web part, and I'm going back to the page, issue the same query, and we'll see what information gets returned to us now. Because it's a farm solution, while deploying, it had to recycle the application pool. So it has to rebuild that now, which is why my page is a lot slower than it was before. And because I'm giving a demo, it's really, really slow. That's just laws of nature. I can talk to what will happen, but I don't want to because that will spoil the fun. Oh, come on. Go ahead. Yeah. The question is the properties with the number of results in there, the items per page, I set them in my code, but you can also set them through the UI. So by setting them in my code, I basically overrule the setting that someone might have done in the UI. But you will see if I go to the WebArt properties that the properties are actually set to the value that I set them in my code. So it is the same property. You can see now that paging occurs in here. And the number of results on this page. Let me see how many those are. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's weird. Because no sound? Oh, sound. My results per page for the location list is 10, and my results per page for the location is 5. But the results per page for the web part is still 25. So basically, what it looks like is that the pager web part looks at the property for the location. But the results web part still looks at the properties for that are set on the results web part itself. So if I page through this, what will be on the second page. There's only one on the page, so it uses the location list value of 10. And there's just one item on the next page. So you have to be careful with setting these values. If you use all of them, you will really mess up your UI and your users, basically, because you get very weird results. And this is just 11. If I would have like 100, it would be way more complex and confusing. So be aware that these properties, a lot of similar properties are set on the different objects, and properties aren't always used for the same web part. So location list is something that exceeds a single web part. So if you set that, it will be the same for all web parts. If I would set the value on location list, it would be used by the pager and the core results web part. But because I set it on the core results web part as well, that is what will override for the core results web part itself, and that's what that web part will use. If I don't set anything on the location list, every web part on the page will use the only value I defined, which was on the core results web part. So keep that in mind if you're building custom solutions or extending the out-of-the-box web parts. So the last bit, and basically the most interesting and flexible bit, is creating custom solutions using SharePoint Search. So instead of inheriting from the out-of-the-box search web parts, we now create our own web parts, and we don't use the out-of-the-box web parts at all. SharePoint Search to us now is just basically a data source, but a very scalable one, because it can contain up to 100 million items without handing in performance, without causing you problems. And there are not a lot of other solutions that can do that for you. You have complete freedom of representation. You can use it the same way that you would data from a database, for instance. And the results are still security trimmed, assuming you don't use impersonation in your code, of course. But you can still return results to a user and only give the user the results that he's allowed to see within your SharePoint environment. So it's a very easy way to do that as well, and that's difficult to achieve in another data source. There are a couple of object models. You have the administration object model that represents the functions that are available in central administration, and you can use that for managing search in your farm. You have to use that to get the search service application proxy, because you need that proxy to give you back the results from the query, to give you the results from the index. There's also the query object model, and that will communicate with the search service application to actually get your results back. So that basically represents the query component for you. Be aware, if you use the SharePoint server object model, you want to use Microsoft Office Server Search Query and not Microsoft SharePoint Search Query, which is very likely to happen because Microsoft SharePoint will be added as a using statement to your page, probably, to your web part, and the top one won't. But if you use the bottom one, it won't get you the results you expect. You really get different results or maybe no results, depending on your environment. So be aware of that. And there are two types of queries that you can use. You can use the keyword query and the full text SQL query. The keyword query, part of Microsoft Office Server Search Query, basically will be used for end-user queries for very simple, basic filtering. The query that I issued earlier with the sports in there, that's a keyword query. So it's simple and easy to use, but you can't do a lot with it. It's not very flexible. You can basically filter based on managed properties with a string or an integer property. But you don't have to parse or construct any SQL queries, or similar to SQL queries. Keyword syntax supports Boolean operators, so or and. You can use prefix matching for keywords and for properties. In SharePoint 2010, there's improved operator support, so we can use more operators than we could before. So, you know, greater than, smaller than. And you can search for scopes as well. So you can, by using the keyword syntax, you can also filter results based on a scope. But obviously an end user isn't very likely to know the name of a scope or even understand the concept of a scope. The full text SQL query class from the same part of the object model, you can use this for advanced search solutions and for writing custom complex queries. It looks like a SQL query, but it's not. it's specifically implemented for SharePoint, and it queries the search index and not a SQL database. So you can only use a limited set of query terms, unfortunately. Some fields need double quotes around them. I usually add double quotes around every one of them, because that will at least make sure that you're doing the right thing. And the problem with this is that it's quite difficult to debug and troubleshoot. If you don't get any results back, then why is that? Did you make a mistake in your query? Was there a managed property maybe not present? Was there no data in your managed property? Is your index empty? So that's kind of difficult. So it will help you to find a tool that you can use to issue the query that you wrote in your custom code on the server itself. For instance, Steve Peschka has a tool like that for SharePoint 2010 that you can download from his MSDN blog. And that will really help you to debug and troubleshoot, because it means that you can just take one word of your query or one property of your query each time and issue it till you actually get any results. And if you've stripped it completely and you don't get any results, there's something wrong with your index. So that will help you to find the problem in there. These are the statements that you can use. You can use select. You will always say from scope. That doesn't change, regardless of what scope you're using. In your where statement, you can use and or not. Apparently, I enabled timing on these slides. You can use contains or free text to search terms within your statements. Be aware that these are obviously slower, because you have SharePoint search has to look in the properties itself. You can use like, and you can use date at. And it sounds really useful, but it isn't really. Because the number can only be negative, so you can only search for things that happened in the past, which sort of makes sense from a SharePoint perspective, because you're thinking about documents uploaded in the last X number of days. You can also only use get GMT date, or a variety on this, but basically you can only search for stuff related to now. So you can't use 3 weeks ago and then... The scenario that I would want to use is birthdays in the future, in the next 2 weeks. But you can't use that, because you can't look for stuff in the next few weeks. You can also not look for stuff between certain dates, because you can't change this. You can only look for stuff based on today. So that's a bit of a bummer in there. And you can order your results. This is an example of a SQL query, or SharePoint SQL query. You can see the quotes around the properties. I select the URL, a title, and a description from scope. That will always be the same. Where free text, gallery hinges, so where that text appears in the search results. Within a certain site, which in a certain scope. So this is where I limit my scope and not here, not in a from bit. And that contains the word breath. I can also use not in there, so I could exclude stuff from it. But I have to include something before I can use not. So I can't use where, not, free text. That doesn't work. Once you get the results back, it will return a results table collection to you of the type iData readers, which means that you can use link to query that. There's one table for each requested results type. Basically, you will always get all results type returned to you first. There's relevant results. That's the normal results that you will get back for your core search results web part. There's special term results, refinement results. Now, that will make sense again, right, for the refinement web part. Official best bets results. Those will only be available if you have FAST installed. So that's a FAST feature. High confidence results, definition results. So you have to decide what type of results you want returned to you for use in your own web part. Usually, if you want to do anything with the results itself, you will want to use the relevant results table. And we'll go into the demo again. I'll go back to my portal. And you can see here that I have a custom search page. This is a page within this site. So it's not a search center. It's just simple an ASPX page within my portal site. On here, you can see a custom web art that I built, people web art. By default, it displays all people from my environment. So again, a couple of famous sporters. I built this demo for originally for an English audience, so that's why all the cricket players are in there. And I have a search box here, but this is my own custom search box. So this has nothing to do with the out-of-the-box search box. So in here, I can search for sports, tennis. Tennis is my favorite sport. And I get the results returned to me in a list. So this doesn't use any of the out-of-the-box SharePoint search functionality, except for the fact that it retracts the results from the search index. So if I go into my Visual Studio solution again, you can see that there's another web part, people web part, that again gets displayed in the dev days group if people want to add the web part to the page, and has a little bit of metadata in there, tells the user what the web part's for. Has a CS file, a web part class. In this case, I just inherit from the web part class and not from any search web part. In here, not a lot happens. Only thing that happens basically is loading the user control. So in the user control, I have the ASCX file. Stuff at the top is basically standard. And you can see I have the text box and the button that you saw at the top of the page. Simple ASP.NET controls. And I have a SharePoint grid view to display the results. So this is all that you saw on the page. Not a lot in here. And there's a debug panel in case anything goes wrong and I want to see what happens. Then the code behind. I create an empty data table. And when you click the button, I will first go and get the service context. So the current service context means that the context of the current page. Based on that context, I'm asking for the search service application proxy. And because of that proxy, I can request the full text query object, and I can use that object to query results. Here I'm building my query, and the query text depends on whether someone fills in a filter or not. If no one fills in a filter, I get all the people within the environment, all the user profiles within the environment returned to me. As you can see here, so you see a couple of properties, the URL, preferred name, so that's the user's preferred name. Birthday, which I'm not using. Picture URL, need that, because I want to display the picture. Sports, need that as well. And user profile GUID. Now, if I had added the property sports to the user profile properties, but no one had filled in a sports, and I would put this manage property in here, you wouldn't get any results returned to you. Doesn't work. So be aware that if no results are returned, it might be because one of the properties is empty. Even if you don't use sports in your where clause, it will still not return any results to you. So that's a bit of a quirk, and that's very different behavior from what a SQL query would do, right? You can see from scope, where scope is people, so I only want people returned to me and not documents or sites. And I added a little bit, if there's no filter, preferred name cannot be solutions, because that would return my admin account, and that didn't look that nice. And if you fill in the sports, it will filter based on the sports. So basically the query is quite straightforward and simple. So got the context, the proxy, and then the query, filled in a query for you. The row limit, so the number of results returned by the query is 1,000, which is silly because they think there's only like 7 or 8 people in my environment. Here you can see result type. That's the different result tables that I can pick from. So I chose relevant results because I want to see the results, the normal results. But in here you can see I can also select. Oh, you can't see that when I filter, when I zoom. You can see that there's definition results, high confidence results. I can also say none. I didn't really test what happens if you say none. You get refinement results, special term results, and visual best bet results. So this is where you decide what type of results you want returned to you. The start row, which you will use for paging. I start at zero, so I start at the top, but if you want to use paging, you can start at a lower row as well. Trim duplicates is false. This can also be a very good reason. If you don't see the results that you're expecting to see, then maybe trim duplicates is filtering results from you, especially if you're in a demo environment, because if you upload, say, 10 documents that have approximately the same contents but a completely different title and are stored in different sites, SharePoint Search will see that as duplicates. So be aware. I'm setting the culture, taking that from the current web. I don't really need to do that, but I can. And then I get the results collection by executing the actual query. And that results collection I can then, again, filter, and I could, you know, fire a link query on that and limit the amount of results further, or maybe format them in a special way. I load the results into a data table, and then I add the columns that I need in there to the table. I clear out previous columns, because otherwise, you know, your table will grow every time you refresh the page. There's a text in case there's no one found based on the selection that you make. And I will sort people based on their preferred name, so they will sort on their name. These are the columns added to my grid view, and then I bind the data table to that. So if I go back in here and I would search for football, I don't like football. Oh, sorry. Fat fingers. You can see that there are no results returned to me. However, Formula One, that's cool, so that's in there. So you can see that with just really a little bit of code, most of the code is for formatting my columns. I can create a custom web art, display that in any way I want, use my own query on that, completely format my own query. You know, I could have made anything from it, could select any property that I want from the index, and create any filter that I want, and basically display those results in a web art in a very easy and simple way. So you can see that you could do this with business data, you could do this with data from SAP, from another line of business application, and this can be a really, really powerful tool for you to create your own solutions without writing a lot of code or doing anything really difficult to your environment, to your code, and still get a very powerful solution that's very useful for end users. Just a small summary. You can use PowerShell to configure, manage, and deploy your search settings. I used the managed property sports. If I would want to deploy this web art, I would have to create that managed property in my test and production environment as well, or otherwise my query would never work. My web art would start firing errors. The search UI is highly customizable. You can do a lot of that with it without any writing any code. The new connector framework for searching line of business data, which makes it easier to search through the business data. But the main improvement there is that it's easier to even create the model within SharePoint. So it's easier to get business data into SharePoint. You can use the public web parts and the shared query manager if you want to use the SharePoint Search Center, but you want the web parts to be adjusted to your own company, to yourself. You can use full text SQL query for writing your own complex search queries and creating your own custom search solutions. And you could use federated search for indexing external data sources. So you could also incorporate data from, say, Bing in your own custom solutions, because that's accessible through the same search object model as the data from SharePoint is. Are there any questions? In that case, I would like to thank you and have a good day.